Okay, I'd actually like you to, if you can turn off the recorders. Sorry.
Okay, you can turn it back on.
Okay.
Okay, the well-known... well-known remedy of polyeruptions. The great Sadiqim, those of you that are traveling with us to Poland, will have the opportunity to hear more about him. Rabbi Polyeruptions from Lanzut. He started in Eruptions and buried in Lanzut. We'll be visiting Lanzut on the trip. Great Sadiq, unlike great Sadiqim, many people would come to them for brachos. And so it was that a couple came to Rabbi Polyeruptions. Classic Hasidic story, Hasidic tale. They don't have children, 10 years. And this chassid of the Rebbe comes, travels across Poland, makes his way to the Rebbe, and cries to the Rebbe, "Rebbe, 10 years, we're married, no children. Please, please give us a bracha." So the Rebbe says, "I'd love to help you, but I can't. I'm unable to help you. This, the din here is too great for me. But there's one person who can help you. He lives at the end of the forest. You'll find there's a small shack. There's a Jew in there. His name is Baruch." Okay? You getting this? Andrew, you got it? You getting this? His name is Baruch, and he can help you. If you get a bracha from him, you'll be blessed with a child. Sure enough, okay, he makes this trip, goes across through the forest, leaves the details out, and makes his way to the end of the forest. And this little shack there. Knocks on the door, a woman answers the door. "Yes?" He says, I'm here to see Rabbi Baruch. I came for a bracha." She's like, "What? What are you talking about? Does Rabbi Baruch live here? This is the end of the forest, right? I show the end of the forest street sign before. This is the Rabbi Baruch lives here. This is a Baruch here, it's my husband, but he's not. You know, no one's ever come here for brachas from him." He says, "I don't understand, but your husband's home? He's home. You know, you can try. I don't know exactly what you're thinking." And she opens the door a little bit wider, and he sees this man there holding a bottle of vodka and sprawled out on the couch. He says, "You know, go ahead. He hasn't given me many brachas for many years. So you can try if you want." So he goes in, the Rebbe said, he goes in, he says, "Baruch! Baruch, please, I came for a bracha." He's like, "Who are you? Get out of my house. What are you doing here?" He's like, "I came for a bracha, please help me. My wife and I, we've been married 10 years, we love each other, we don't want to separate, but we're dying for children, please give me a bracha." "Get out of here. What are you crazy? Get out of my house. You're crazy on me. You must be have more to drink than I had." And it's going back and forth. Finally, I had to get through the drunk. Grab his bottle. "This is Baruch. Give me a bracha. Give me back my bottle. Give me a bracha. Bring back your bottle. Give me a bracha." He finally says, "I'll give you back the bottle. Just give me a bracha." "It's fine. You should be blessed with a child. You should have a baby boy. Give me my bottle back." Gives him his bottle back. Sure enough, 8.5 months later, they're blessed with a baby boy. Guess what they named him? Hmm? Yes, close. Green. It's a Syrian couple. I was just married. I came here to learn the first polo. At the time, I had the opportunity, as long with many other members of the polo, I used to go up on Shabbos to walk up to Rehovot Pisgah. Rehovot Pisgah is a yeshiva called Kol Torah. And in that yeshiva, so the great Baal Musar of the time, Shlomo Volbe, used to give shmuzes on Shabbos afternoon. right before, between Mitzvah is the Shmuzer and Yeshiva. So when I got permission from the wife, we got a few times ago, we walk up. Chovat Hiska, you guys looking for a Chovat Hiska? Yeah. Great shawarma there, best shawarma on the street. On the Chovat Hiska. Anyways, we go to Revolvi as often we could and blow away Shmuz's, really, it was an unbelievable opportunity. So this particular Shabbos happened to be the Shabbos right after Purim. I make my way up there. I get a little early, waiting for Revolvi to come. And on the on one of the benches there, one of the shenders, is one of these Aloni Shabbat. Alon Shabbat, you may have seen the great Samanashi work. Alone, something like that, but not as sophisticated. Just plain sheet of paper, really, just fold it up. Something like this. Black and white, no pictures, no ads, no Max cakes, nothing. Anyway, so I pick it up. I'm waiting for the shiur to start. I'm reading this letter. It's printed in this Alon Shabbat, and I'm blown away. And I'm reading it. It's about the special quality of tefillin. And I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh man, I just missed it. It's right at the Purim. But I'll hold on to it for next year. And next, the following year, we actually arranged. I spoke to Ari Miller. I said, "Did you know about this? You know about this idea, this in this letter?" I said, "Yeah, it's a known idea." So can I translate the letter? I'll post it on the bulletin board. And can we arrange a special minyan of sleeping on Purim? I said, "Yeah, great idea." Sure enough, that's what we did. So let me tell you what's in this letter. So the letter is Michtav Shleit Parsei Galekut Lefnei Kama Shanim. Okay? A letter that was made known in Lakewood. I assume we're talking about New Jersey, not Pennsylvania. Before a number of years. Lamana Chagrai Toshvei Gere Lakewood Neirum Ye'iru La'olam. I am not worthy, really, to point out to you things. You're greater than I am. However, because this is something that has been of a great benefit to me personally and to others who have done this practice, I decided to share this with you. Yadu hu lakol. It's known to everybody. It's known when it comes to tzedakah that a person's obligation is to check whether or not he is really deserving of receiving tzedakah. Somebody asks you for tzedakah and you want to make an important investment, right? So you want to check to make sure that this is a good investment. Just like any other investment you make. You know, no one's going to drop a couple hundred dollars on some guy saying, here, I'll have a great return for you. You're going to look into it. Really? Let me check that out. Let me check who you are. How much more so it comes to tzedakah? You're making a very important investment here. You want to make sure if I'm going to drop a few hundred dollars or $1,000, it better be a worthwhile investment. It's an investment that's eternal. And that's true when it comes to tzedakah. However, there is an exception to this rule that you don't have to check, you shouldn't check, actually, when it comes to Purim. Because on Purim, all of it is, chutzli Purim she'asu zman she'kol ha'chot she'yam nosim lo. On Purim, all of it is, anyone who sticks out their hand, you give it. You don't ask questions on Purim. You don't say, are you really worthy of this? Anyone who sticks out their hand to Purim, you can beat them. That's the din of Purim. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, a little kid, if you walk around, you don't have a lot of time this Friday, this Purim. It's a very short day for you. But if you have a chance to go around a little bit, you walk around, you go, you make your way to the Piscata, you get that free gauge shawarma before you go to your Rebbe's house. So these little kids will come over to you and they'll stick their hand out. They may even be smoking a cigarette, a little 8-year-old smoking a cigarette. They ask you for a thing. You don't give them a lecture while you're smoking now. It's not for now. It's the next day. That's the halacha. And so, just like we have the Nicole Kochi on Nosin Lo, that applies to tzedakah, so does it apply? You need that negative that applies also to tefillah. And Purim is a din of Kol Kosheinu when it comes to tefillah, that whatever we ask for on Purim, all we have to do is ask. During the rest of the year, so we ask, we daven Hashem, we ask for certain things. So then he says, oh, one second, who is this? Who's asking for this? The person's asking, he wants to win the lottery. I don't know. Is he worthy? What's he going to do with the money? Is it going to ruin him like he ruined so many others before him? Is he someone that's deserving of this? Does the whole cheshbon that's done in Shamayim? Is this person worthy of such bracha? But it comes on Purim. Call a post Muslim. They don't think. They don't start asking questions. Just like we don't ask questions when it comes to tzedakah, so too on Purim, we don't. They're not asked questions when it comes to what you ask for. Whatever you ask for. And so continues by saying that it's been his practice. And to take this idea, not simply as a nice idea, oh, that's a beautiful, just a nice idea, a nice word, sitting over the Rebbe's table on Purim morning. It's actually, he does the mice, all the mice, that's what he does. So the night before, the night of Purim, we'll have a fatiga here. Okay, but he, this fellow, as, and this whole tavor, they don't stay up late at night, they certainly don't drink, there's absolutely no mitzvah. And gets up early the next morning, davens Vasikin, gets up even before Vasikin, the daven already, starts saying Tehillim, saying everything properly. How often do we say brachos properly, arbonos properly? Gets up Vasikin, and asks whatever he wants, because this has been my practice a number of years, and I can tell you, this is what he writes, I can tell you that within a few months, everything that I've asked for, I have received. What an unbelievable opportunity. And this is what he writes in letters. So I read this letter, but this is unbelievable. Chaval, I missed it. It's past Purim. So we did that following year. We made Svasik in the new year. We were Rus. He was there at the time. And we had about 50, 60 people that morning. It was sort of an infamous morning in recent history. It was the morning of Baruch Goldstein went to the Mount of Machpelah. Hard to forget that. But I can tell you that at that meeting there were a number of people who, to say personally, I had been married a little over a year and a half, and there were some complications about having children. And 8 months later to the day, we were blessed with our oldest son. And that same meeting, there was another couple who were married for 5 years and even more complications. And the same week that my son was born, they had a daughter. And I could read off a long list of the 21 years subsequent to that. But this has been my practice. And many of the Yerubayim do the same thing. And it's been the minute here in our yeshiva to have a vasika meeting since then. Since then, there's been a vasika meeting every year in the Kola, in Torah Shraga. And it seems like the last day you want to daven vasika, it's actually the best day to do it. And the people here in this room, there's an opportunity to ask for big and small. So, there are guys in this room, small, who ask for big things. Small people ask for big things. Jimmy Keller, for example. Last year, he shared this with me. He davened that he should double his Twitter followers. And with just a few months, he went from 11 to 22 followers. From the Tzvila Purim. Now, I don't make light of it. There's a big thing to ask for. It's an unbelievable opportunity. If deserve. Just the kol koshi adonosim. Without deserving, just asking on Purim. If the yeshivas had success, it's because of the rebbeim davening on Purim, probably. Not for any other reason. So it's an unbelievable opportunity. The question is, first of all, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about this opportunity? And number two, more importantly, is why? Why are we doing this? Why is it this, like, you know, free? Because we've had, many of us have had experiences when it comes to davening. But we've asked ourselves, we've had lowly, we had people in our family that weren't well, we davened for them. And they didn't get better. We've had situations where we davened, maybe someone in our family was out of a job, we davened for them, and for months and months and months, nothing. So why now, on Purim, are we giving this opportunity? So, when it comes to tefillah, there's two very important fundamental things that we need. We need to believe in order for tefillah to be effective. Number one, we need to believe that there's a God in the world who listens to our tefillahs. We need also to believe, the second thing, and which is the more harder thing to believe, is that He listens to my tefillah. Me. Me, little nothing me. I can understand He listens to the tefillahs of the tzaddikim. The great tzaddikim of our generation, the previous generations, their tefillahs are answered, they're worthy, they're deserving, but that He listens to me? What did I do to deserve Him to listen to me? I'm full of sin. I don't speak properly. I'm not a nice person to some of my friends. I'm not worthy. And that's the feeling that a lot of us have. That He doesn't listen to me. Maybe He listens to, maybe it's at Sibur He listens, or maybe to the tzaddikim, but to me, from where I come from. And maybe we'll have years of experience to prove it, of our tefillahs not being answered. And so we're given this opportunity. One day of the year, where it doesn't matter who you are. Maybe the rest of the year matters. We have to be worthy. Even then, it doesn't really matter. Share with you an amazing story. I shared with the guys last year as well. It was a great tzaddik. Passed away not so long ago. And he had a practice like some of the Polish rebbes that they davened. Whenever they were ready to daven, they would daven. They weren't concerned about the zman. Whether that's right or wrong, it's not the discussion right now. But he would daven whenever he was ready, and sometimes he'd only be ready late in the afternoon. But he was mocked to daven with a minion. That's hard to get a minion late in the afternoon if people didn't daven. If he's not around this area. He was in Brooklyn. So then Rabbi had a job of trying to round the minion, and whenever the Rebbe would say, okay, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, gather a minion. Now, it wasn't just that he needed a minion to daven with, he wanted a minion of people that hadn't yet davened. A minion of people that hadn't yet davened at 3 o'clock, so going around the borough park. You can find many people that hadn't yet davened shachris. It's a hard job, right? So it take a while to gather. So one particular afternoon, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he's trying to gather, and he sees this truck driver unloading stuff, and he says, "Have you davened yet?" And he says, "No." He goes, "Can you join the rabbi? It's the rabbi, it's close to you, your family." "Yeah, you know, when you just finish unloading, I have a little time before my next delivery, and I'll come and help you." He digs underneath the front part of the truck, he grabs his tefillin, and comes in, and he starts to take out his tefillin. The Rebbe looks it in. He says, "Why are you here?" He says, "I'm here for the minion." He says, but only if you haven't davened yet. You davened already. He's like, you davened already, right? The Rebbe says to him, he says, yeah, I mean, I wrapped on, wrapped off, I had a quick shmonesh. He goes, so go. So he was like, he's blown away. Just the Rebbe knew that he had davened. And that what he thought, so the chassid came running after him, the gabbai came running after him, he goes, why'd you come in? I asked you to daven, why'd you come in? He says, the truth is, it's true, I did wrap on, I didn't think my davening meant anything. I did it so quickly without really any proper kavana. I didn't really think it had any effect. So I thought, okay, I'll daven now, properly. He goes, but then when the Rebbe noticed, he was able to tell that I had already davened. I realized that my tefillos count for something. They do make an impression on the world. The Rebbe can tell, certainly our Father in Heaven can tell. So our tefillos are never, as rushed as they are, with lacking kavanah as they may be, they're never for naught. They always leave some kind of impression. But we have the opportunity on Purim to open the gates in the sense that we now experience where our tefillos can be answered. Our tefillos are answered. And again, I can give you a whole long list of things. It's not important. It's not important, but I suggest you do the following thing. You have a lot of free time in the next few days. Tomorrow you have a whole afternoon. Sit down. Make yourself a little card. Write, put pen to paper. And write down those things that are most important to you. For some of you, maybe I need my parents to come around about next year. Some of you may be getting a job and trying to you want to get it. Or one of your parents are out of work. Or someone needs a refuah. Whatever it may be. Just sit down and think about it. And then take advantage of this opportunity you have once a year. Now, what happens to you guys, it's easy on Friday because it's Basikin only starts at 6 o'clock. The day before it starts at 5 o'clock. But we worked out the clock this year. So you can down at 6 o'clock Basikin. Don't blow the opportunity that you have because you wasted it the night before. There is no mix of a drink. And I'm not telling you this idea because I'm trying to stop you from drinking. And that's not the point. It's not the point at all. The point is to take advantage of the opportunity to feel it. But if you drink at night, and you drink too much, certainly, you're not going to be able to. You're going to miss the opportunity. It's a short day. You get up, you daven sikkin, you pour out your heart to Hashem. You go and you do the mitzvahs of the day. You come to that suda. Don't drink. Don't drink until after, in the middle of the suda, you can daven mincha, 12:30, whatever, the first time you daven mincha, they'll daven, each suda will daven their mincha, and then you drink, then you fill the rest of the mitzvahs of the day. It will be the best Purim experience you've ever had in your life. It's a life-changing opportunity, life-changing experience. You will not regret it, I promise you. I promise you. It is an unbelievable opportunity. But you see, the trick is, as I like our Abara from the beginning of the story, this call of Tula is hidden behind the bottle. A lot of people miss this call, this power of Rafa, the power of Tula, because they get caught up in the bottle. They don't realize the power that they have of receiving blessing or giving blessing. It's one of those hidden elements of Purim. And the truth is, that even the focus of our tefillos of asking what we want is also hiding something deeper. And that deeper thing is our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. That's really what tefillah is about. We ask for things, and we need things, not because we don't daven because we need things. Hashem makes us need things, so we'll daven to Him. He's interested in the relationship. And He can't wait for Purim Day. You think the simcha is right here? The simcha is right in Shemayim. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so excited to be able to give to his children whenever they want. Like any father loves that day when he says to the child, whatever you want, I'll give you. You just tell me what you want me to buy, I'll buy it for you. It's the greatest joy a parent has. But he doesn't do it every day. It's not healthy for the child to do that every day. It's not healthy, it's not good for him. And he's not deserving of it every day. But those days when the father says, maybe it's his birthday, whatever the day may be, it's the greatest joy the father has. He would love to do it every day. But it's not in the child's best interest. So Kadosh, we can't wait. The great joy of Shamayim of being able to grant our deepest wishes strengthens our relationship between us and him. That's the real bracha of prayer. Of the strengthening our relationship through the medium of the Shiva to all the other misses of the dead. Thank you.